A waitress in a tight bustier brought us champagne and two glasses, and April waited for me to pour. While I fumbled with the bottle, she reached behind her back and undid her teddy. "Hold on," I said. "You don't have to do that. I'm just here for research." "Sure you are." She laughed as if she'd heard that line before. "Relax. I just want us to blend in. They have strict rules here about fraternizing with the customers. You don't want me to get in trouble, do you?" The teddy came off. "So how did you meet Kevin?" I asked, trying to focus on the champagne. I knew the answer to my question. Kevin had related the story to me in great detail, but I was curious to hear it from her side. "I picked him up at the Hard Rock," she said simply. Then she smiled. He was sitting at a high roller table in the Peacock Lounge, purple chips stacked almost to his chin, loud, obnoxious, spilling booze all over the felt. Just another asshole throwing his money away. April swirled champagne with a finger. I waited until he got up from the table, then moved up next to him. I asked if he wanted to buy me a drink. He completely lost his shit. The loud, obnoxious boozer turned into a shy, geeky kid. I saw right through him, and he knew it. I nodded. Kevin could play casino personnel, but when it came to a beautiful woman like April, he was all MIT. April was one of the few people in Vegas in whom Kevin had confided. They had connected right from the start, perhaps because of their similarities. In a way, they were both leading double lives. We became friends. He used to come see me at the Paradise. I also knew his girlfriend at the time, Terry Pollock, from the party circuit. Cute girl, great body. She could have made a lot of money if she'd wanted to. I wasn't sure if she was talking about stripping or something more. Kevin told me that April was a very open person, that nothing was really out of bounds. I decided to see if he was right. How much money can a girl make? Depends what she's willing to do. At the Paradise, I took home a couple $1,000s a night. When I was making house calls, I could earn $500 to $3,000 an hour. Now I'm making a lot less, but I can still handle my mortgage and my car payments. She didn't seem embarrassed by the open admissions about her past and her present. Maybe it was the anonymity of the Emperor's room. Maybe it was the fact she was topless and sitting on my lap. Or maybe it was just that this was Vegas after 3 a.m. It was a poorly kept secret that Las Vegas had one of the country's most permissive attitudes about the sex industry. Anyone with a phone book and an itchy dialing finger could find a legal escort willing to negotiate illegal extras. If that wasn't good enough, the city was crawling with swingers clubs and after-hours establishments where any entrepreneurial conventioneer could find his favorite flavor of vice. Vegas hadn't earned the nickname Sin City because of Siegfried and Roy. Were most of your customers high rollers, I mean the house calls? She sipped her champagne, leaving a half-moon lipstick smear on the glass. I had a business association with a few of the hosts at some of the major casinos. When someone who could afford it came into town and wanted a blonde, they called me. Celebrities, athletes, high-rolling gamblers, the same people who hung out at the Paradise after the fights, the ones who couldn't be satisfied with the lap dance.